Our friend Spencer Glover stopped by this week for Happiest Hour. Spencer is a writer, director, and ramen enthusiast based in Los Angeles. He focuses on developing stories for underrepresented voices. We discussed our secret lives, the power of film, graham crackers, Tom Brady, and of course, good news. Welcome to the Happiest Hour. Spencer, we're so glad that you're back.
Oh, so we are acknowledging that that this is a second time.
We are going to acknowledge that you're our first repeat guest, and no one technically knows that. But I'm convinced 100 years from now, we're all going to be, or humanity is just going to be robots, right? And they're going to stumble upon the archived, jumbled audio from your podcast, and they're going to be like, wow, this was an amazing interview.
And they're going to say, who's that idiot talking on this interview?
No, absolutely not.
No way. We talked about Michael Jordan, LeBron James. We had a lot of great conversations that got lost.
That was a lot of fun. So is it just gone forever? Like,
it was very
my
corrupted.
My computer just went through and deleted your vocal only. And I found it. But it literally sounded like the beginning of The Ring.
Wow.
I was like, Nick, is there any way that we can salvage this? And he sent me a clip of it. I was like, okay. All right.
I don't want to hear it.
All right. Cool. No doubt.
Well, we're here again. It's all good.
Yeah. So welcome back. First repeat guest. Obviously, we loved you because.
Thank you.
You know, and the opportunity arose because you're back in Nashville.
Yeah, we're hanging out.
Most of the time you're in LA. So it was good timing.
It's hot.
In L.A. or here?
Here, in Nashville. Yeah. It's muggy. I'm not sure I can handle it.
Well, you're going to have to.
And there are cicadas now?
I don't even know what to tell you.
So there are supposed to be cicadas soon.
So according to tree experts in Nashville, the cicadas here are not going to be bad until 2024. They will be bad in other places, but not here. Ugh. We'll see. I don't know. I haven't seen one yet. And they're popping up in other places.
I'm knocking on wood.
Joe Biden got attacked by one.
He did.
No. Yeah.
He did.
Is Joe okay?
Yeah, he's all right.
He swatted it off. He was good.
Money
they're
bag
generally
Joe.
Not super violent, right?
The sound is pretty violent.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No, when I imagine the locust plague in Egypt, I think that they were cicadas.
Have you seen their face?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty.
I would be terrified.
Yeah.
If I were Pharaoh, I would have let the people go right then and there. I'd have been like, nah, I ain't dealing with this. Take them. Take whoever you want. You can have them. Spencer, we like to start with asking our guests what good stuff is going on in your life.
Yeah. Good stuff going on in my life. So right now, we're back in Nashville. Me and my fiance, we're hanging out with the family. So there's a beautiful little girl named Malia that we get to hang out with every single day. And she's so much fun. And it's my first time being like an uncle to like a younger child. So it's like a learning experience and just figuring out how to raise a kid and, you know, protect them and make them feel appreciated and feel good. So that's like one of the bright spots right now for me. Just seeing little Malia's face smiling every day is pretty fun.
Is I know
that's
always a little sappy. Smiling though?
Well, so in the morning when we wake up, she's usually staring at us like a little animal. She's just like death stare waiting for us to wake up. But it's a smile as soon as we get up. So it's good.
That's sweet. That's really good.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know.
That's a fun one. Terrible. I feel like the last two times we've asked this, it's been children oriented. And if you were to ask Nick and I what good stuff is going on in our lives, we'd be like, it's not children oriented.
Yeah.
And that's why it's good.
Yeah. I'm on board with not having kids right now. I am an uncle, but all like they're all away.
Yeah.
They're in Texas. They're in Colorado. They're away.
What age?
Let's see. Ooh. 6, 9, and 7, 8. I think there's one in the middle. Ooh.
Those are fun ages though.
They are.
Yeah.
They're like full conversations, but they're always hey, why is this? Hey, what are you doing that for?
They're so curious.
Very, oh my God. Very inquisitive.
So, and Malia, so I'm playing this game called Days Gone. I don't know if you've heard of this. Mm-mm. Do you play games at all?
Not really.
Okay.
What kind of games?
Kind of stuck in my Zelda realm.
Computer games?
It's a PlayStation okay. game, yeah. So I just picked it up recently because it was free. I have like the subscription to the PlayStation thing. So I played it, and it's called Days Gone. It's a zombie game, and you're like in this post-apocalyptic place, and you're killing zombies and whatnot. And Malia sat down with me and watched me play, and she like turned up when she saw these zombies. Like, there's like these big hordes of zombies where like 200 of them will start chasing you, and she's like bouncing up and down on the couch and like, get the zombies. And then she made up this phrase, I don't know where she got it from, but she's like, gotta get them. And I'm like, where did this come from? Like, what are you talking about? But it's really fun playing games with her, and it just made me think about, oh, so the reason I even brought it up was because she asked like why about everything that I do in the game. She's like, why are you doing that? Why are you going over there? Why are you walking over here? I'm like, all right, Malia, just watch me play for a little bit. I'm going to go get the zombies. Just watch me play for a little bit. No, she's fun, though. She's a lot of fun.
If you sit there and be quiet, you might learn why I'm doing this.
Yeah, you might kill a zombie.
Because they're terrifying.
Yeah. Zombies need to be dealt with.
Yeah. They got to go. Okay. Well, I love that. we're going to play a game.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It's a fun game. It's going to be easy for you. You're a film guy. So I named this game, which movie's line is it anyway?
Okay.
literally nothing to do with the actual show. I'm not going to get up and do improv, but I'm going to read you a line from a film. These are some of the most popular lines in Hollywood. So
I'm going to be so bad at this.
You'll get them. They're easy. You'll see.
Watch how bad I am at this. You're going to be like, is this guy a filmmaker?
I'll start reading them. And if you get it right, I'll take a sip.
Okay.
Because we still got a lot of podcasts left. Yes. So I'm not going to take like a shot. We're not doing that. And if you get it wrong, you have to take a sip.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
Start with an easy one. Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
What?
Spencer.
Read this again.
Okay. Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
What is that?
So, do you know? They quote it in VA for Vendetta.
But that's not going to help him with the original movie.
I'm just going to go ahead and drink. I don't know what that's
The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
You never saw it?
Oh, wait, no,
wow. Then, this might be...
Ooh, then I got it wrong, too, then.
Really? Where'd you think it was from?
Because...
I took my sip.
In V for Vendetta, that would have been... The Count of Monte Cristo, I think.
Mm. I'm going to be so bad at this.
Okay, right. Well, here we go.
Oh, boy. I'm going to drink on that one, too. Give me a refill now. Yeah.
This one's easy. I see dead people.
Okay, that's The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Love it. Oh, sip.
Tina, what are you drinking over there?
Rosé.
Ooh, you fancy.
I know. It's summer. It's light. We got a long night. So.
Double header.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Oh. Crap. Oh, why can't I think of this? Puts baby in a corner.
Oh. You got this. This is Patrick Swayze, right?
Yep. It's right there.
Dirty Dancing. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Dirty Dancing.
I was like, right. You were saying it.
She just wants another drink.
I was thinking Dirty Diana. Dirty.
Sip taken. Next one. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Titanic.
Take a sip.
I'm gonna take a
it's
sip.
Braveheart.
Great film.
I haven't even seen that movie, and I feel like I knew where that was from.
I knew that one.
Ashley, my girlfriend, her nephew is William, and he just found out about 7 months ago, that his middle name is not Wallace, because his dad and his and we all called him William. Well, I didn't because I'm new to the scene, but like they all have called him William Wallace since he was born, but his middle name's Elliot. Mm. It's William Elliot. So
was he like?
He goes, no, it's Wallace. And we're like, all right, man. He's six,
he's
seven.
He's gonna change that as soon as he has the opportunity. Yeah.
He gets to choose it. It's fine.
That's awesome. The next one. Okay. You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Oh my! All of these are like right on the tip of my tongue. You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Why would you need a bigger boat? You're catching fish.
Titanic.
No, you've already guessed that once. Where's my buzzer? I need to tap in.
Sorry. So Karis and I, we just watched this PBS show on Titanic, and I just keep thinking Titanic. So we're gonna need a bigger boat. Why is that?
Cigarette in the mouth. He's throwing chum in the water. He says, "You're gonna need a bigger boat."
Jaws?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm helping you. I guess I just want a drink.
You want a drink? I told you I'm terrible at games like this.
Apparently. Next one. I feel the need. The need for speed.
I feel the need.
The second one is coming out shortly.
Maverick.
Top Gun.
Yes.
You're helping me a lot. I'm going to take a sip too.
All right. As if.
It's one of two.
This is so good. This is a great.
It's one of two
film.
That I'm thinking of.
I think I know it. Julia Stiles, Heath Ledger. Mm-mm. Not that one.
No, but that's a great guess.
It's not Mean Girls, is it?
Mm-mm. Earlier than that, 90s.
Clueless?
Yes.
Clueless.
Love it.
I guess wrong. Am I supposed to take a tip?
No, you got it right. You said
well,
Clueless.
I said one wrong movie, but... Okay, never mind.
Well, I guess I got it wrong, too, because I was naming actors that weren't in that movie, so I guess I... Well,
cheers.
Here we go.
Yeah, no,
cheers.
You were wrong, Nick.
I was wrong. It's fine.
Spencer's our guest. We're treating him with kindness. He'll come back again for a third time.
I will. This is a fun game.
Thank you. Number 8. I'm just one stomach flu away from my goal weight.
Okay, I do not know what that is.
The Devil Wears Prada.
Okay.
Emily Blunt. That's like one of the first roles that I ever saw her in.
Yeah, that's, I think, her first major role.
Yeah. And she's like, if I'm doing this great diet right now, and if I feel like I'm going to pass out, I just eat like a...
Peanut?
Like a piece of cheese or something, yeah. I think. She's like, I don't eat. And then if I feel like I'm going to pass out, I eat a piece of cheese.
I love that movie. I'm not going to lie.
It's great.
I own it.
It's a great one. Do you own it or does Ashley own it?
Oh, no, I own it.
Okay.
I own it. I bought it on my Apple TV thing.
It's a great film.
Yeah, I love it.
I didn't know the line, but you know.
But now you do.
Now
so
I do.
So the next time someone asks you, it's going to be right there on the tip of your tongue.
Do you have anything from Jurassic Park on this list?
No.
Clever girl.
Sorry.
Hold on to your butts.
Okay, the next one. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Where are you getting these lines?
I laughed out loud. I watched this scene earlier, and I laughed out loud. It's old. I mean...
Oh, it's old.
Think...
Like classic?
Yeah. Yes.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Who's behind the curtain in a classic movie?
I'm just going to say...
Yellow Brick Road.
The Oz? The Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Yeah. The very end.
No, he's like playing, you know, the great and powerful Oz, and then Toto pulls the curtain, and everyone sees that he's just speaking into a microphone, and he sees it, and he freaks out, and he like closes the curtain. He's like, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
I need to go back and watch these films.
I'm a terrible
filmmaker.
Actually lulled. I was like, wow, this is actually kind of funny.
It holds up.
Yeah, it holds up. Okay, last one. This might be my favorite.
Okay.
It's relatively new. I think you'll get this one.
Okay.
I'm going to have to science the shit out of this.
That's a great line. Oh, I have heard this, but I'm drawing a blank on where.
Mark Wahlberg. Nope. Matt Damon.
Oh, the Mars.
Yep, you're so close. What is the Martian?
The Martian, yeah. Yes.
I think Gina just wanted to drink that entire game. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, honestly, I thought that he was going to... I thought he was a good filmmaker. Gonna, yeah, I was like, these are... I think there are maybe a couple... Like, this is bad, but I was going to attribute the Need for Speed to Fast and the Furious. I don't know why.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. That's for sad. Some reason, that just makes me think of that movie. But I don't even know if they say that.
But they was going to think Speed. With Keanu Reeves,
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, yep. Good movie.
Good one.
Yeah, I'm terrible at games like these because I just like my brain just kind of melts. Hmm. You know, it's like I know these things. It's just like
under pressure.
You know? Yeah, under pressure, I just melt.
How does it go again?
I just wanted to.
Oh crap!
It's okay. We have the pop filters on. It's probably fine. Okay, if you could have a secret life that no one knew about, what would it be?
It would either be some sort of spy, which is very on the nose, some sort of like CIA sure. spy or MI6 spy or whatever. The other would be probably, I'm going to say some sort of soccer player.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I just really like soccer players.
American League or... European League.
European,
yeah, yeah, real.
Hey, whoa, MLS is getting there. Okay. Slowly but surely.
Very slowly.
Yeah.
Hey.
LA Galaxy is pretty good.
I like that. And Nashville, now we have the Nashville Sound.
Nashville Sound.
Mick has season tickets.
I do.
For the Nashville Soccer League.
How have they been? Are their games been pretty good?
Yeah. I mean, we're technically undefeated because we haven't lost, but we have, 15 ties or whatever it is.
Ugh, that bugs the crap out of me.
Yeah,
that you draws, can tie yeah. in a game. You should not be allowed to ever walk away on level playing field from your opponent.
Yeah.
You should either be worse than them or better than them.
How does that work in the records, though?
So they do it 1 point draw, 3 points for a win, 0 points for a loss.
That's right.
So then they just rack it up, and then they take the top, I think it's seven teams.
Yeah.
Between... each side, and then have the bracket from there.
Yeah. Is FIFA supposed to come back soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
World Cup?
Yeah. World Cup is next year, I think.
The last time I was on, actually the last two times I was on, I was like, wow. I'm like really amazed by how like this sport really does bring together the world. And I think that's why I would like to be a soccer player.
Because
it's just like you're playing on such a big stage, you know? And I don't know, secretly, like I always want that moment, you know, where like a musician, they'll get on stage in front of like a big concert and they'll tell everyone to pull their cell phones out and like everyone can see like the little lights and stuff. I do that every time if I'm filming something and I'm like in a theater or something like that and there's a crowd, I'll ask everyone to take their phone out just because I like to feel that moment. And so like with the soccer player, it kind of feels like the same thing, you know, Friday Night Lights or whatever you want to call it, you know. So yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, one of my favorite movies in high school was Bend It Like Beckham.
Okay.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Still love it, actually.
Do you own it on Apple TV?
I can't confirm or deny that I've purchased it, but have I watched it recently? Yes.
I got you. Okay.
Nick, what's your secret life?
I think musician, kind of like the whole Hannah Montana thing where I put on a wig and the next thing you know, like, I'm nobody. Or I put on the wig and then I'm, you know, like a straight rocker or something.
So you're telling me your beard is fake?
I mean, you can try to rip this off, but please don't. That would hurt a lot. This has taken me time. And I just cut all of it off.
It's a good beard.
I'm regrowing.
It's a good beard, man.
I think the last time you were here, I still had it, right?
Yeah.
Long one?
Yeah, long one, yeah.
It's nice. Yeah. Okay, well kept so you'd be beard. A rocker.
Yeah.
Rock star.
I think so.
What's the appropriate term? Rocker, rock star?
Let's go rock star. Makes rock me sound, star. You know, better.
Superstar?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know about superstar, because when I think superstar, I think Will Ferrell.
Yep.
Superstar.
That is not the first time that that has come up in conversation within the last week for me.
That sounds about right.
Yep.
What about you?
I thought that it would be super cool to be like a private investigator.
Mm.
I mean, it's still on my list.
You can still do it.
I'm not saying that it's not a potential career path for me. I've looked into it.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not so secret now. But had I had a secret life, or if I had a secret life that no one knew about, it would probably be like a private investigator or something.
You just put on a little mustache. And
yeah.
Put on the glasses.
A monocle.
Big fake nose.
With the big fake nose.
Monocle.
Yeah.
Love a monocle. That's what they're called, right?
I think so. Yeah. They're definitely monocles. Yes.
Okay.
Fact check.
Thank you.
You like the Monopoly. Like the Monopoly guy.
Yes.
Absolutely. Do not pass code. Do not collect $200.
This is random. Do you all like Daft Punk?
Oh, I love early Daft Punk.
Yeah.
When they were still
cartoon.
That is
very random.
Well, it just makes me think about, you were asking about Secret Lives, like, they never showed their face, or like, we haven't seen their face. And I was like,
true.
Oh, yeah.
I just really appreciate that about, like, their artistry. Like, they were so big, but they kept their mask on all the time. I just thought that was really dope.
Do you think they kept their mask on in the recording studio, too?
I think so, yeah. Well, I worked on this documentary with one of their bass player. His name is Nathan East, and he would talk about how they would record stuff. And, yeah, they kept their mask on. Like, he never saw their face.
Interesting.
Yeah. As their bass player.
Yeah. Sorry. He wasn't their bass player, but on that last big song they had with Pharrell.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Or Get Lucky.
Get Lucky. Whatever. He played bass on that song. And he was talking about the experience. He showed us photos and everything. They never took their mask off. So.
What is that? I guess if you're not the one singing, what does it matter?
Yeah.
Huh.
Very interesting.
So, and a lot of their voices were synth in other songs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think they're like two German dudes or something like that.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
We could be, you know, in Kroger and be right next to the guy.
Hanging out with Daft Punk.
Yeah.
And you would never know.
The last question I have before we jump into, like, all about Spencer is, if you could have a brand sponsorship from any brand, what would it be?
Ooh, that's good. Probably Adidas.
Okay.
I just really like Adidas. Sorry, I just got a weird look from someone across.
Karis is judging him.
She must have known I was going to say something else. No, I like Adidas, especially like their last resurgence of like shoes and the way they're connecting with different artists like Pharrell and Kanye. Shout out to Kanye. I know people hate him, but, you know, still great.
But I've also never heard anyone say Kanye. You make him sound so sophisticated.
Yeah,
we all know who Kanye is.
Kanye. I just really like, they're a pretty forward-thinking company in terms of, like, how they want to, you know, approach their clothing and their message and stuff like that. Mm. So, yeah, I think Adidas would be the one.
I like Adidas casual wear. I have not had, like, Adidas workout clothes or sports clothes or shoes in a long time.
Yeah.
But I
would stay on the casual side, too. I mean, they're so, like, deep into hip-hop and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, the 80s, they were big. And, you know, they just have some of the, like, more stylish clothes to me. So, yeah.
Love it. Nick?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, is there, like, a food brand that I can just be like, hey, guys, just cook me out. Oh, like Home Chef? Or or Blue Apron or some one of those.
Yeah.
So that way I just get a whole bunch of free meals.
Mm.
Oh. Mm. On point. I'll do anything for a good meal.
Yep. That'd be nice. I think for me, there's this CBD company called Beam.
Oh, yeah.
And I just like, I genuinely feel like less of an old woman when I use their products.
Yeah.
But they're so expensive.
They're very expensive. Their Beam Dream is CBD and it's a hot chocolate.
Oh, wow.
And you mix it in.
So good.
And you drink it half hour, an hour before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Unwind, turned everything off, and just kind of sit there, relax, read.
Yeah.
Just kind of turn your mind off. It's honestly some of the best sleep ever.
Wow.
It has magnesium in it, too, and I think some melatonin.
Yep.
So it's just like a sleep cocktail.
Mm. Pass.
It's great.
Oh, knock me out.
Their CBD oil. I used to have like a whole counter of their products. And then I looked at it and I was like, wow, this was a lot of money. I should never do this again.
That's legit.
So I'm still holding out hope that one day they'll take notice of me and say, wow, she spent a lot of money with us. Maybe we should treat her.
It'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll hold out hope.
Yeah. They'll hear this podcast.
Mm-hmm. We'll tag them.
Yeah, we'll tag them. Oh, you have
little faith over there.
Well, I mean.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
What's the name of the company again?
Beam.
Beam. I'm going to send them a message.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to use my power.
You're our biggest advocate right now. I appreciate that. Even Nick and I haven't like done anything on like social media or anything like that.
We're so bad at social media. It's like,
yeah, we're both really bad at it.
I've been trying to step back from it a little bit, you know. Sometimes you need a little break from it.
Yeah. I do really enjoy reading your or watching, I guess you watch stories, right? You always have something motivational on your story, which makes me very happy.
Those are just like little random spurts of things that pop in my brain, and then I just post them.
I love it.
Well, one of the recent ones, we have a friend, Alita Miles, comedian, actress. She's very funny. And I posted one that was like, it was very simple. It was like, be interesting. And she sent me a message, and she's like, hey, I think Melania Trump had said this, so you need to delete it. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? She's like, yeah, I think Melania said this. And it just, when I read it, I just think of her, and I don't want to think of her. I just thought it was so funny.
Did you take it down?
I did not take it down. No, I didn't take it down, but I just thought that was funny. But yeah.
Honestly, though, that hundreds of thousands of people over the course of their life have probably said, be interesting.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah. No, she was just being funny. Those are two very common words. Yeah, she was just being funny about it. But yeah, those little things, like sometimes I just feel them and then I just get online and post them and hope that, you know, somebody finds some type of inspiration. And a lot of the time I'm just posting it for myself because sometimes I need to like read something for myself, you know? So, yeah.
Well, I love them. So I don't watch your stories every time because again, we're bad at social media, but I always appreciate them when I do. It's like, you know, once a quarter or something like that, every 3 months, but you know, just keep them coming.
Every once in a new moon.
Yeah. I'll try to keep them. I'll try to keep them. Yeah.
Don't disappear too much. Okay. We're going to jump into All About Spencer.
Ooh, here we go.
I'm sweating bullets.
It's the mezcal.
Yes. I'm sweating mezcal.
You could be sweating a whole lot worse.
Yeah. This mezcal drink is very good. A mezcal Negroni?
No, this is an old fashioned.
Old fashioned. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Mezcal, it looks pink. Yeah. What is that? Why? You don't have cherry in it.
No, the bitters in it kind of turns pink. And then we also have a reposado that kind of puts a little bit of a darker tint on it, but it's really the bitters that pop in there that will do that.
It's good. Very good.
Well, I'm glad you like it. My rosé is also delicious, and I didn't even have to mix anything.
Are you drinking your frosé or no?
That's gone.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, well, I got here before you guys did, so, you know, I wasn't going to wait for you.
You got to pace yourself.
That's why I started earlier.
That's good.
Okay, I want to talk about Message Red, because this is kind of the big film that you've had, that you've been working on.
Yeah.
And it's in the short film festival circuit, and it's been doing its run. So talk to us about this film, you know, what it's about, and then what it looks like going forward, like what are next steps with it.
It's crazy, you know. Message Red, so we, let's say, what is this, 2021, I actually wrote the first version of Message Red in 2017. That was the very first draft of the script that I wrote, and it went through a bunch of iterations, and I, you know, I took it to Karis, my fiance and collaborator, and we worked on it. And she breathed a lot of life into this story, because the one that I had originally wrote was a little dark and wasn't as comedic as it is now. But you know, I took it to her, and she really like helped it in a lot of different ways. But the story, so I got to give you the background on it, and I'll try not to talk you to death about this one. But so there were a couple of life experiences that happened to me that combined together to create the story. One being my father had passed when I was really young. I was 6 years old, and he passed from an aneurysm. Mm-hmm. And it was a very sudden thing. I mean, he had the aneurysm, and within 2 days, he was gone. And I didn't know how that would really affect me growing up, especially, you know, I was a kid, and at that very moment, I didn't really understand what was happening. But as I got older, it definitely, like, hit me, like, oh, I lost my dad, you know, and, like, I see other kids with their dad, and that sort of, like, stuck with me for a long time. And I got into my 20s and was really sort of, like, struggling to figure out, like, how to be a man and all these good things. And one night in my 20s, I had a dream, and my father came to me in my dream. It was the first time it had ever happened, and he didn't say anything. I couldn't hear his voice, but he was smiling at me, and that was all that happened, and I woke up. And after that moment, after having that dream, I just felt like there was some sort of closure to that part of my life. I don't know. It was weird. Like, I never really wrote about him or thought about him in that way, but just having that dream just kind of, like, told me, like, hey, I'm okay, in a weird way. So fast forward a couple more years. I was having a text argument with a friend, and we ended up sending these long, you know, the long Bibles of text messages that you send to friends. And on the iPhone, you see the ellipses pop up, the three dots in the bubble. And, I sent this long message, like, super long message. And then I kept seeing their response come in and disappear, and come in and disappear. And then finally it came in one last time, and then it disappeared, and they never responded. And I haven't talked to this person since then.
Oh, wow.
So, that stuck with me. And I was like, I was just thinking about it. I was like, what does it look like from the other side? You know, people that have gone on to, you know, whatever you want to call it, heaven, finality. What does it look like from the other side? So we wrote this story about a guy who's stuck in this place called Firth. Firth is, you know, finality and earth, and you're somewhere stuck in between. It's not super, super, you know, deep or anything like that. And Karis actually had came up with that, and we just cracked it. I remember when we came up with it, we just cracked up. So it's like, Firth, finality of earth. Okay, let's go with it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense. So, we wrote that story, and it took us, let's see, we did an Indiegogo for it, raised $8,000 for it, and then it raised another additional $4,000 outside of the campaign for it. So we got $12,000 to make it happen. We filmed it over 4 days here in Nashville at a studio. Flew out actors from New York and from Los Angeles. Really, really great guys. Rico Ross, who played the lead, and Jamar Gardner, who played Benny, who was a supporting actor. Really, really great guys. And we shot it, and took me a year to edit it together. It was a process. It nearly broke me a couple times, but we got it done, and now it's floating around in the festival. So it's weird, because when we first put it into festivals, it didn't seem to get much traction at all. We got rejected a bunch of times, and this was right before the pandemic happened. And then 2020 hit, and, like, halfway through 2020, we started getting into festivals. And Karis and I, we kind of, you know, thought about it. It was like, oh, wait, this story is maybe connecting in a way that we weren't really expecting for it to connect. You know, people were losing loved ones and friends, and, you know, all sorts of things were happening. And maybe people were finding some sort of comfort in our story. And that's what was happening. You know, it got into the DC Shorts Film Festival. And then later in the year, it got into the Capital City Black Film Festival, and it won Best Short Film there. And that's a film festival that Viola Davis sponsored. So that was pretty big for
us.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was really big. And we heard back from the festival programmers and a lot of the team at Watch the Film, and everyone loved it. And said how, like, deep they and how it connected with them, so that was, like, really good to hear. And most recently we had another selection where it's called Fox Soul, and Vivica A. Fox hosted us, and so we got to interview us, and and we talked with her. She's hilarious. A lot of fun. So yeah, it's got maybe two more festivals to go.
Okay.
And then after that, we're going to figure out what to do with it.
Are you kind of thinking that it's going to be like a test for a feature, or what are you hoping for it?
I never wanted it to go in that direction, and I still don't think it will. But a lot of people say, like, oh, you should turn this into a series, or you should, you know, do something more with it. But I'm just kind of a person that believes, like, the story is what it is. I have entertained that idea of turning it into a series just because the business mind is like, oh, if people really like this, it could be a really great, you know, 30-minute, you know, 8-episode series or whatever. But there's something about that story, since it was so personal, that I'm not sure I want to take it and, like, I don't know, commercialize it in a way, you know?
Well, you're also serving the story that way, right? Yeah. I think that there's a lot of fault happening in the film and television industry where, because they're able to monetize it and make a bunch of money from it, they're like, well, let's just keep the story going, whether that's the best thing for the story or not.
Yeah.
But you're saying, no, this is my story. This is the story. I'm serving it. I'm not serving the population. I hope that it helps others and comforts others.
Yeah.
But this is it. Like, this was, I feel like it was ended well, and it just kind of, it played out the way that I needed it to.
Yeah, I think you got to realize, you know, you got to understand, like, when you're telling stories, you do have, like, a responsibility to yourself as someone that's creating art to say, like, oh, this is a thing that I intended it to be, and I don't want to say sell out, because I feel like it's a cliche thing to say, but you don't want to sell out for, mm-hmm. you know, these other opportunities. Of course, I want lots of people to watch this film, but the folks that have seen it and the people that have seen it, it's connected with them, and that means more to me than a million folks seeing it, you know? Yeah.
Two things. First, what a therapeutic experience for you as well to be able to process through your story.
Yeah.
And then it provide a way for other people to process through their story. I love the picture of your dad smiling at you in your dream. I'm just like, that's such a sweet picture. And like, all of us crave that, right? Yeah. We all crave that the people who mean the most to us, or who would mean the most to us, are proud of us, right? Like, that's what we ultimately crave.
Yeah.
And then you got to experience that, albeit in a dream.
Yeah.
But like, you were able to feel that, and you woke up probably feeling like, huh, yeah, he's proud. This is great.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, whatever you believe, you know, whatever you believe happens after we leave here is fine. And in the script and in the story, we purposely didn't, you know, say God, we didn't say heaven, we didn't say anything that was specific to any religion, because we didn't want to close it off to one, mm-hmm. one set. Yeah, it was really therapeutic to write that story. And even now, when I think about it, and I'll watch it every now and then. Like, I'll pull it up and kind of look at certain parts just to, you know, see how we did. And I feel really good about it. You know, I watch it and I'm like, I'm proud of this film.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can we watch it? Is there a way for mm-hmm. us to be able to enjoy it?
Yes. Well, not yet.
Okay.
But one yeah, day. One day it'll be online. Actually, I take that back. So if you go on YouTube and you search Fox Soul Message Red, it'll pop right up.
Okay.
And you can watch it.
Is it S-O-U-L or S-O-L-E?
S-O-U-L.
Love it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to make a note of that.
So?
Because I've been wanting to watch it. I mean,
yeah,
probably this entire year, and I was like, well, if he wanted people to watch it, he'd like put it on his website or on social or whatever. I should have just asked a long time ago. The Vivica Fox interview was recent. That was like a recent thing.
Yeah, that was a couple months ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so that it's a part of that whole program.
Okay.
They screen films from Black filmmakers, and we were in a program with another film called Tender. It was a really great film. Yeah, it was about an hour-long program. We're the first film in the program, so yeah, check it out.
Love it. I can't wait to watch it. I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Sweet.
Because I've been waiting to watch it for a long time, and now I know how.
And then you could take one of the lines and put it in your game and see if anybody knows what the line is.
See? Yeah, we'll see how dedicated our listeners really are.
Yeah,
I like it.
The onus is on you guys now.
So good.
So you kind of touched on this a little bit, but I want to dive more into it. What do you think the power or role of film is in a society or a culture?
Mm-hmm. It's storytelling at the end of the day. I mean, different forms. You know, you've got the folks in your family that kind of keep the history of the family, or you've got, you know, I think a friend of ours was talking about just tribes and how, I forget the word, but it's, what is the word? You are the, I can't think of it, but it's basically the storyteller of the tribe, and they pass down traditions and stories of.
It's not an orator, is it?
It's not an orator. Okay. It's, I feel like it starts with a G, but I can't think of what the word is. But you all will go back and fact check that.
Yeah, we'll
later,
fact
right?
check it later.
We're pretty good at those.
Yeah. So I think there's a responsibility to tell stories that represent, you know, what our world looks like. I also think, and this is just the other part of me that, like, as I grew up watching films, I understood that I love films because I was able to sort of transport to a different place for an hour or two. And I do feel like film, for a film to be good, it just has to have that ability to transport you to that place and sort of entertain you and kind of take you out of like what's happening in your life in that moment. You know, it's like a good song. When you hear a good song, like you feel all these different feelings. It's the same thing with a film, you know. You can educate people, you can inspire people, you can take people on a journey. That's what I want from a film, and so that's what I think is important and what you should be striving for when you're doing a film. I hope that answered your question.
Absolutely. I love that. I feel like the film and I'm such a film and TV nerd, as you can relate, but I feel like it's just one of the most powerful places culturally we can make change and make impact. Like I genuinely feel like it's one of the most redemptive aspects of culture and society, right? Like we get to tell stories that people resonate with, they relate to, they're able to engage with their own story in a different way because someone else has engaged with their story and like done that work to do that. And I love that it speaks to the human condition, but can also speak to what the human condition can be. And I think it's so powerful.
And it just also just as an art form, you think about, it's the one art form where you're taking visual, you're taking auditory, you're taking like all these different senses, and like you're putting it into this one little package that you can receive, you know. I just think that's really cool.
Yeah, I love it. Whenever, like, sometimes I'll talk to a friend about a show that I'm watching or something like that, and I'll, for instance, I just recently got into Rizzoli and Isles, and I just like I went full send, watched the whole thing. And one of my friends was just like, yeah, like I love the dynamic between the characters. And I was like, I love that it portrays strong female friendship.
Yeah.
And we just don't see enough of that. Like, I want more of that type of storytelling. So I go deep and I analyze just the heck out of everything that I watch because it's so powerful. Like, if you take a step back and you think about it, you're like, oh, this isn't just meant to entertain me. Like, there is something powerful here. There's a message that, you know, the creators are not trying to preach at you, but are sharing because it's something that's important to them.
It that reminds me of a film. Well, one of, I love so many films, and I try not to get too heavy into like the cinephile like loving of film and sound like really like, you know, snobby about film, but there's one called Ikiru by Kurosawa, So it's an older film. And it's about this guy that he's just working like a normal job. And he learns that he has stomach cancer and he only has 6 months to live. And up until this point in his life, he is just living like a very like mundane life. Like he just goes to work, comes home, cooks his meal, goes to sleep, gets up. And once he gets this, you know, 6 month, you know, deadline that he's going to die, he just goes on this random journey of like going to get ice cream or like just trying all these like things that seem like really small and like kind of, just like whatever you would do. Mm-hmm. But he just goes out, sits at the mall and he talks to people. And then he, well, without spoiling, I mean, he dies in the film, but, the people that he works with, they have this like, just like a little ceremony for him. And everyone in this room is like, they were all dogging him at first, but then by the end of the ceremony, they're like all in tears about like how great this guy was in this, in the last 6 months of his life. He was like, he completely changed who he was just because he knew he was going to die, you know? And I remember watching it and like bawling my eyes out watching this film. And it just reminds you like sometimes those, like we feel like our experiences are so like specific just to us, but we all are going through a lot of the same things. Hmm. Like, I mean, they're all unique to us, but there's so much like connectivity between all of us and like what we go through. Like we all have similar things that we're battling and trying to come up against, and movies just, they just do that for me. You know, they just remind you of like that you can connect easily to other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. It speaks to the emotion, not necessarily the specific trauma.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're all experiencing different trauma. No one escapes life unscathed.
Yeah.
But the thing that we can relate to is how we felt
right
during that. And I think that any form of art really speaks to that. But I'm biased to film and TV. Movies. And I just, it is real. Like what you're saying, like you are combining audio, visual, like dialogue. Like it feels real. It's like, oh yeah, I had that conversation in a coffee shop literally just like that the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, it just puts your life on a picture that everyone's able to see.
Yeah.
What is one story idea you have and love, but will probably never get made?
Ooh. One story idea. I don't know if I'm just a person that believes like all the ideas that I have, I can make. I really do. Like I'll have.
The sky's the limit.
I really do feel like that. Like why limit yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of stories that I have in me that I want to tell. Now, like if you're talking about just life happening and I don't get around to it, then yeah, that may happen, but no one's going to tell me that I can't tell whatever like big story idea that I have. Like no one's going to tell me that I can't do it. You know, I'm big on that. If I have, I feel like all my ideas so far have been kind of left field and crazy where people, they hear the idea and they're like, I'm not sure if you can pull that off. Like one of my earlier films, the Konnichiwa Kid, did you just catch a fly?
No, I think I missed it. But it just kept buzzing around my head. Sorry, continue.
No, you're good. I just saw you like reach out. You did like a Mr. Miyagi type thing. I did this film called The Konnichiwa Kid. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've seen Konnichiwa Kid. So basically this story about this black hibachi chef that wanted to be like the greatest hibachi chef in the world and stumbles across like this sensei of hibachi-ness or whatever you want to call it, and ends up in this kung fu kind of like crazy fighting restaurant. And I remember telling it to the folks and like, what are you talking about? And folks were like, you can't do that. But we did, like we built a whole set for it and I flew in actors from all over the country and we made this great film. So I don't know, I just, when I hear that, I'm like, every idea that I have, I'm gonna do it.
I love that. And I think it's because you found a way to make all of these story ideas happen. Mm-hmm. You know, like, even if you don't necessarily have the funding, you start an Indiegogo. Yeah. You know, there's Kickstarter. Like, there are ways that you can make stuff happen without going through a studio or, you know, what people are picturing when it comes to filmmaking.
Yeah, and you have to be, I mean, you got to be careful, too, because, like, every idea that you have won't be the greatest idea. But if you like take that idea and work at it and like massage it a little bit and like actually work at your craft, you'll probably end up with something pretty good. Because there's a lot of people that will just have an idea and just do it without doing the research and like the homework. That's not the way to do that.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not that type of person. Like if I have an idea, I'll take it and I'll say, all right, what can I really do? How can I make this as good as, you know, a Nolan film, or how can I make this as good as a Spielberg film, you know? That's how I want to execute ideas. Cause look at those guys. Like they just thought of crazy stuff and convinced people to give them money to do it. And at the end of the day, they made like classic films, you know? And I love Spielberg because so many of his films were just like his imagination kind of going wild. Mm. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of storyteller and filmmaker that I always wanted to be. Somebody that just thought of something that seemed really crazy and put it down on paper and then shot it and said, hey, here's what goes on in my brain. Take it and, you know, do with it what you want, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That kind of leads into my last question. What are some of the most important films to you that have been the most impactful on you and your journey into storytelling and filmmaking and just life?
Yeah. Ikiru is one of them, what I talked about earlier. And then the others are, it's like a mashup of films. Jurassic Park, I just love that film. I always talk about that moment where the Velociraptor is in the kitchen and then that
claw. So terrifying. It's one of the most terrifying scenes.
Taps down a little bit. Yeah, oh like that stuck with me for so long.
Still with me.
Yeah,
and you just brought it up again.
Thank you. Yeah, Jurassic Park was one of them. Forrest Gump was another one. Mm. I remember, especially with Forrest Gump, I think that was like one of the early memories of me like recognizing like my own emotions. Cause I remember when Bubba had died on that beach in Vietnam. And like, I remember his work, like I'm like starting to tear up thinking about it. And he's just like, and he says, Forrest, why did this happen? And I was just like, as a kid, I'm like, whoa, like that was so simple. But that line says so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, I want to go home. And I'm like, oh my God, as a kid, I'm like tearing up thinking about that moment. And I still feel it right now. So Forrest Gump is another one. What else? The Matrix. The Matrix is big for me just in terms of like creativity and just the scope of the idea was so big. I mean, it was so like forward thinking and next level and just the way that they executed that idea was just like you can't beat it. I mean,
no.
Yeah.
It's revolutionary.
Yeah. Revolutionary film. What else? I think those. Oh, Bloodsport. Bloodsport. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, you know, Sport? you mentioned this last time and I didn't watch it then and now. So I Bloodsport. Still don't know the film.
I was like as a kid, I was like a big karate film kid. Like Three Ninjas, Karate Kid.
Yep, Three Ninjas is one of my favorites.
Three Ninjas was amazing. Do you remember Three Ninjas?
No. Your name is Tum Tum. Yeah.
So yeah, like those films are great for me. But Bloodsport was just so funny to me because I mean Jean-Claude Van Damme was just hilarious because this guy, like, I'm still amazed this guy like made it in Hollywood because he did Splits. Like every single, like 5 minutes into the movie, he's doing like a full on split. And I was just blown away by that. But yeah, Bloodsport. And that just makes me think of, there's another movie called Best of the Best. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
Best of the Best.
I remember that one.
So it's like this karate team, and they're like the U.S. team, and they're going against, like, I think it was China or something like that, and they all have, like, these problems, like drinking and just all these different things, but they're all, like, helping each other out to get to the goal. It's on Netflix right now, which that's what
that's
solid.
I could totally do that on Netflix.
Best of the best. It's really good.
I'll have to add it to my list.
Yeah.
Ever-growing list. Anything else?
Yeah, that's it. That's the ones that I think of. Those are the ones that kind of pop up for me, and, like, in a way that's like, okay, those are sort of like the foundations of the film. I often, like, reference those films and kind of find inspiration in those films.
Jurassic Park is amazing in the way that it still stands up today.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks fantastic. If you put it side by side with, like, a dinosaur movie that was made in 2020, I mean, Jurassic World or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you wouldn't say, wow, it's improved so much. Like, it looks fantastic.
It's still so good. I watched it maybe last year during quarantine and, like, still had some of the same feelings that I felt when I was a kid.
I watched them all during quarantine.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait for the last one to come out. Ooh, we're so close. They're bringing the entire gang back together.
Yeah.
So everybody from Grant to Owen's going to be there. Mm. So you're literally talking movie one to movie five.
Yeah.
They're going to condense all the characters, bring them all into six, which I believe is... No, Fallen Kingdom would have been five.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't remember what the next one is, but, I mean, it's going to be...
Well, it would be six. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, it has a name. It's not called... Oh. Like, it's not called Jurassic Six. Or,
I see what you're saying. We're not just counting them. It didn't take the Fast and Furious route
where it literally just names the number after it.
What are we Which on with the not, Fast and Furious?
Isn't Fast it? Nine. Apparently, that's the last one.
However, not going to lie, the trailer looks dope. they literally have a car. It gets attached to a helicopter, and it swings. It's amazing. I'm like, yes, I'm here for it. I will watch that.
I thought they were supposed to be in space. Were they supposed to be in space for this last one or something like that?
Maybe they... I don't know. Maybe they go to
space.
Maybe
they are in space.
Who knows? Maybe. We'll see. Oh, my gosh. I hope so.
We'll see. We'll see.
Spencer, thanks for letting me interrogate you.
You know, it was easier than last time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Last time it was pretty heavy.
Okay. Good to know. We'll make a note of that.
I mean, it's not like we can go back to the archived footage and find out
how well it actually was. But. Don't even know what we talked about. We're going to transition into a new segment. Okay. I hope that people like it. I really like it, so I'm forcing it on people. It's going to be called We Googled That For You. So I'm finding some of the most asked Google questions.
Okay.
And then I'm getting those answers for you so that you don't have to.
Do you have, like, any music that, like, transitions into this thing?
We're working on it.
We can.
Googled That For You.
Yes.
Ooh, there
Literally
we go.
I was singing that in the shower earlier. Sweet. Yeah, no, I've got some of the lyrics working. I've just got to find the, you know, the melody.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Sud Studios, here we come, baby.
Well, Sud Studios sent me to soundbites.com, so...
Oh, okay. Maybe not.
Yeah. He's like, I'm done working for free with these people.
Uh-oh.
It's okay. No, we love Josh. I specifically ask him for royalty-free websites, to be fair, so he sent me one.
Yeah.
So I'm not throwing him under the bus. He just answered my question.
Yeah.
Very well. Okay, so yeah, we don't have music yet, but, you know, maybe a month from now, we'll have it nailed down. But we're going to go ahead and start it, because I love some of these questions. The first one is, how old is Tom Brady? Do you guys know how old Tom Brady is?
I think he's 40-something, right?
42?
Three. 43. I.e., too old to still be playing football the way that he is.
I mean, he's like, you know.
You're still winning Super Bowls. Yeah. Who cares?
I do not like Tom Brady, but I respect the hell out of him.
Yeah.
That he is still able to do what he is doing. And I was convinced. I was like, okay, Tom Brady, his entire career has just had an insane O-line. And that's why he is fantastic. And I don't necessarily not think that. But I think it's amazing that he went to a team that is notoriously bad.
Yeah.
and still was able to come out on top. I mean, it's just, it's
he
incredible.
He still didn't get hit a lot, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. His, so, his football IQ is really high.
Oh,
like,
I mean,
this guy is, you know.
And he's not known for scrambling, so it's not like he pulled a Cam Newton, went out to the wing, or.
If you get him out of the pocket, I don't think he's very good. He's not fast.
Oh, he looks terrible.
Yeah. But somehow, he is just, the way that he's able to rally a team, I think that's what it is. I think his leadership ability is just impeccable.
There's a video, I think it's on YouTube now, and it's him giving a speech to the University of Michigan since he went there when Harbaugh took over, which obviously it's been rough being a Michigan fan since because, you know, we still can't beat Ohio State, and, you know, it's kind of a thing. But, you know, it was still the fact that Tom Brady came in and still spoke to the team, and he hadn't been there in 12 years. And at that point, I think he already won 5 or 6 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So to go back to your alma mater and to be able to just speak to that football team of kids that are 18, 19, are they going to the pros? Are they going to actually finish their degree? Are they going to get hurt? And he was just able to step into that leadership role and be like, hey guys, no matter what happens down the road, you are a team here. You're a team now.
Yeah.
Amazing.
A lot of lessons can be learned from him.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Mm.
Well, he's 43 years old. That was the question that we needed to answer, not all of this extra praise that we just reluctantly gave him.
It's fine.
The next question is, why were graham crackers invented?
I'm really interested to know this.
So apparently this became a thing because some random person, I guess, figured out why graham crackers were actually invented and then sent out a plea on Twitter and said, everyone, please Google why graham crackers were invented. And it's been trending ever since. So it's still one of the top Google searches. And essentially, this is what I was able to find. Graham crackers were created in an attempt to quell sexual desires of Americans in the early 1800s. Would you have ever guessed the things that we use to sandwich our marshmallows and chocolate were actually created to stop us from having sex and masturbating.
Wow.
So they were,
are we just talking like regular graham crackers, the ones like cinnamon sugar on top?
No, okay.
Have
so
we gotten to that point yet?
Adapted over the years. They have evolved. They started, the idea was started by Reverend Sylvester Graham. He was a Presbyterian minister from Connecticut who was convinced that sexual urges, including masturbation, were making people physically ill and leading to depravity. So he was essentially like, meat and fat makes you want to do sex stuff, which makes you sick.
Uh-huh.
So he adopted like a vegan or vegetarian diet, and he cut out all white flour. So he created these like wheat crackers.
Oh, okay.
And was like, eat these if you don't want to be depraved and physically ill, i.e. don't want to do the sex stuff. Crazy, right? Isn't that so bizarre? They have definitely evolved. Like, he didn't throw, like, honey on them, but...
I was going to say, are there any stats about if it actually...
worked?
Deterred people from having sex?
Or? I can't imagine that it did. We're still here, so humanity still exists.
But
so.
Yet, so are they. Graham crackers are still around.
Yeah, but they're better now. I can't imagine that just
honey,
like these
cinnamon
meat,
sugar
dull crackers. I don't want to put marshmallows in that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not putting a marshmallow between saltines, though.
So basically, you know, my takeaway is the Lord took a really ridiculous thing and gave us honey graham crackers.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. It's great. I love them now.
I
don't know that I would have liked them in the 1800s, but now I'm okay with it.
I have no words for this.
It's a thing. That's why people are Googling it a lot. But now you don't have to. We just answered that for you. The next question is just what to watch. Which this is very subjective, I think. I don't think
that
there's
people
like...
people are... they're just Googling what to watch.
They're Googling what to watch. Yeah. As if... I mean, I guess it's hard to make a decision. You pull up any one of the streaming services, and there are thousands upon thousands of options. So I found a handful. I have actually not watched any of these, but they're all on my list.
Okay.
Well, actually, The first one's not really on my list because it's scary, but it outperformed A Quiet Place 2, so there's got to be something okay with it. The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It.
Yeah.
I do not watch demon movies.
I can't do it.
Do you watch demon movies?
No. We tried watching it 2 days ago, and the sun was still out. And when the sun started to set a little bit and it got a little darker in our living room, Ash goes, no, I'm good. Yeah. We were literally, I think, we had maybe a half hour left.
Yeah. And we were both just like, no.
I can't do it in the daylight.
I'll watch them at like 9 a.m. Mm,
and then get on with my day. And by the time I go to bed, I completely forget about it.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's way too real for me. I do not like demon stuff. Yeah. So I stay away from it. But
I get that.
I mean, The Conjuring, I think, has like a big fan base. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they've made like
it's four an entire. Of
them, right?
It's a whole.
Like universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Nun, Annabelle Beginnings, mm-hmm. Conjuring, Conjuring 2.
I didn't know that they were all a part of it.
Yeah, I think there's like 6 or 7 out right now, and there's another 3 that are supposed to come out by 2025.
Someone uploaded a list or like the order to watch the entire universe. And you know how like they do the Marvel films? Sure. They did that with the Conjuring series.
You can watch it by release or you can watch it by chronological.
Yeah.
Now, I did watch all of the Marvel movies in chronological order before Endgame came out.
Did you?
That's like probably the nerdiest thing.
How was that?
About me. It was a big part of my life, and I will never do it again. I mean, I was not able to hang out with anyone for like a month because I was just like, wow, I have to watch like 3 Marvel movies tonight. So I won't do it again, but I'm glad that I did it. It made the story make sense better. Like it really is it is a universe. Like it all comes together and it's one cohesive story. Sans a handful of the films that were just like outliers.
So you didn't watch The Hulk?
No, I watched it.
Oh, you put The Hulk in there?
You look pretty disappointed. I watched it.
Did you put the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in there too? Did you watch
it? No. I left the TV Marvel out of it.
That's
just the films. Yeah. I did watch The Hulk. It was a
thing. There's 2 of them, right? Edward Norton and Bruce Banner?
Yeah, but. Or no. Well, Bruce Banner is The Hulk. Edward Norton.
But isn't Banner?
Eric Bana.
Eric Bana. There's 2 of them.
I don't know the Marvel universe that well.
I don't know.
I don't like the main.
So Edward Norton is the one in this Marvel Hulk film. I don't know where Eric Bana comes into play because Mark Ruffalo plays the Hulk later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not really sure. Speaking of Marvel, though, Loki is another one on my list.
Because Disney Plus just released the first episode.
So, I mean, by the time this one's released, they'll probably have 2 or 3 episodes. So I think that one would be interesting to watch. Cruella is on my list. Yep. Sweet Tooth, which is a new Netflix series where they're like in a post-apocalyptic world. And the boy, he's like part deer, part human. It's like 97 or 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow. So I think that would be good. And then the second season of Feel Good, which is a Mae Martin. She's a comedian turned television writer. I haven't actually watched any of her, any of the first season, but Mae was a panelist on a screenwriting conference that I just attended virtually a month or so ago. And I loved her. So that all of Feel Good is also on my list. Do you guys have anything to add? Any current what to watches?
What am I watching right now?
Well, I mean, this weekend, or hopefully sometime this weekend, when we ran into Gina on Broadway a couple weeks ago, and we were all a little intoxicated, we all agreed that we were going to go to A Quiet Place and go to Waffle House.
We decided that when we were recording the podcast. Things just kept escalating.
I need to stop drinking.
Because we were talking about our celebrity crushes, and his was John Krasinski. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so then we were like, we're going to go see A Quiet Place too. And then somehow we got onto Waffle House. Don't even remember how that happened. And then we're building a new business. No big deal. These are all things that are going to happen on
Saturday.
We'll get
there. A lot happened during this last podcast.
It was only like a 30-minute podcast. We just got shit done.
We did.
Yeah.
We just kept going.
Wow.
We just kept going. It was a good one. It was a good one.
So A Quiet Place 2 is on?
I mean, I definitely want to see A Quiet Place 2. And you can actually, I think you can watch The Conjuring 1 on HBO Max, if I'm not mistaken.
You can. I saw it the other day. Skipped right over it, but I saw it. It's available.
I won't watch it, but
I don't know. I've been kind of just keeping my own little bubble by myself and just trying to figure stuff out. So
I'm kind of in the same world. Although Karis and I, we have watched this show called Philly DA. It's on PBS. Or is it PBS? So
is this the Titanic one?
Yes. No. That Titanic one was just. Oh, it was so bad. Philly DA. It's about Larry Krasner, who's the district attorney up in Philadelphia, and he was like the really progressive DA up there, and it's really good.
Okay.
Really, really good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We'll add it to the what to watch list.
Yeah.
The last we Googled that for you question, this is the easiest one to answer, I think. How many ounces are in a cup? Do you guys remember?
Eight ounces.
Yeah. Eight. Yes. Yeah. Either a lot of people have forgotten this, or we have two-year-olds using Google, which I think both are probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, both are true.
Yeah. Are 100% true, but it's eight. The answer is eight. There are 8 ounces in a cup. However, if you go to, like, the UK, they use, like, the imperial system, mm-hmm. and it's different, but it doesn't matter. We're Americans, and we change everything because we can't understand the imperial system. Apparently, so it's 8 ounces. You guys ready for good news?
Let's do it.
All right. Good news. I'm going to have to get my iPad out for this. Because
that was a great segment, by the way. I enjoyed that.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Don't you? I feel like I learned so much. I was, my boss is probably not going to hear this, but I was totally like looking up all of these questions at work and just like soaking up all of this stuff. And my friend who works upstairs, like I was asking him a work-related question about paid search, and he answered it, and I was like, do you know why graham crackers were invented? Listen to this craziness. He's like, where do you get this stuff? And I was like, this is my new segment. Don't you love it?
Random facts are fun.
They're so fun to know.
Great, you know, conversation pieces.
Yes.
One of the lines in one of our recent shorts talks about Brussels sprouts, and that it's not Brussels sprout. I'm about to butcher this. So if you Google Brussels sprouts, what is it again? It's
Brussels sprouts is even for the singular Brussels sprout.
Right.
Because it's just referring to where it is from.
So they're always Brussels sprouts?
Yes, always Brussels sprouts.
And if I just wanted one, it's a Brussels sprout.
Yes. It's very confusing, but yes.
I've been saying that wrong the entire time I've been eating vegetables, which has not been a long time, but it's been at least a year.
We're Americans. We just do whatever we want anyways. It's Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
I'll take your fact, and I'll say, you know what? Never mind. I think I just want to keep doing what I'm doing.
Just keep on doing it.
Okay, good news. So, Spencer, I felt like you would really appreciate this story. There was a short film, movie, but mm-hmm. it's 9 minutes, short film, written entirely by an algorithm, so entirely by AI.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Sunspring, and it stars Silicon Valley's Thomas Middleditch. but apparently they just, so the director, Oscar Sharp. He was in film school, I think at NYU maybe, yeah. And he realized that he liked working with the computer tech guys more than he liked working with fellow filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of got him started on this trajectory of, man, I want to one day create some form of art that is just entirely made by artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Crazy. So they started, the AI named itself, apparently they can do that, Benjamin.
Yep.
And they started giving Benjamin like all of these 80s sci-fi scripts. And cool. So Benjamin started understanding somewhat what the structure was and all of that. And they entered this 48-hour sci-fi film festival and then had Benjamin create this script and created a movie with, you know, they didn't, I think they printed out the script and then handed it straight to the actors in a read.
So they actually filmed it.
They filmed it. Yeah, you can. I'll send you the link. You can watch it, and it is. I am flummoxed. Like the whole time I watched it, I was like, "This doesn't make any sense." But also, it's beautiful. It was very bizarre. Very, very bizarre.
I didn't know they got to the point of filming this because I remember an article came out about this, and I read a little piece of the script, and it sounded terrible.
Ridiculous.
Like, I mean, it was all over the place. I mean, like, the character names were, like, really random, and
their
dialogue
number,
was really random.
No, they're letters. The character names, because the way that names are in scripts, there's not really, like, a set formula to them. They're kind of all mm-hmm. over the place. Mm-hmm. So Benjamin couldn't quite figure out, beep, boop, boop, beep, how to create names. So he named them,
like... Is that
like,
how Benjamin talks?
Yeah, that's what Benjamin sounds like. That's his language.
It sounds like Kit from Knight Rider.
It was like H2 and then something else. C. Those are the characters' names.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, there's a there was an article, or I guess a movie that's coming out soon, where they took this Twitter thread and just filmed like this. It was an insane Twitter thread where all these people were given these like random stories, and they basically filmed that, this collection of tweets, and made it into a feature
as
film.
One cohesive story, or yeah. It's like a series of short stories.
I think it's one cohesive story. Actually, you know what? It's about this like outrageous night at this strip club, and this girl in the strip club is like tweeting her night at the strip club, and it's just like going all over the place. But they took the whole, you know, Twitter thread and turned it into a film. I think that's like, I love going on Reddit and just reading comments on Reddit. That's mm-hmm. like there are some like genuinely funny people on Reddit,
mm-hmm.
and you could take some of the comments and stuff and make like dialogue out of that, you know,
absolutely.
And just kind of go that route. So
those are human made though, right?
Yeah,
like there's
true.
This
yeah.
element
yeah.
of just when you watch this film, I'll send you the link. It
yeah,
is
please.
Absurd. Like some of the things that they say, I wish that I could remember some of it. Cause it just, I mean, it's so bad that it's hysterical. Like
yeah.
I laughed out loud, but also I was like, this is like these people or actors are robots. Like, you
yeah.
know that it was written by a robot because they sound like one.
Yeah.
Like there's, it's just, it's so bizarre. But when you're using Twitter or Reddit or something like that, like mm-hmm. actual humans, I think for the most part are sharing those stories
right.
and have like their own flavor to it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I mean, if the AI is taking bits and pieces of a script that a human wrote, it's basically just, you know,
regurgitating
what we're saying. I mean, obviously, like, it's not putting together things that make sense.
Yeah.
Because I remember reading some of the dialogue, and it was, like, all over the place. But it was funny as crap.
Well, and that's the hardest thing to do, though, when you're writing a script. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that is the thing that if you don't do it well, people know.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
people can tell, wow,
oh, yeah.
this person has never interacted with another person before because no one talks like this,
right?
I feel like that's the hardest thing. It's easy for AI to be giving screen direction
yeah.
or this person picked up flowers. You know, like, that's
yeah.
simple. But what do they say after they pick up the flowers?
Yeah.
Not well, just, these are flowers, you know, which like a robot would totally say.
These are flowers.
Here you go.
Here you go.
Do you like flowers? Actually, a human might say that. I don't know. I think I
yeah,
might know
I
some
feel
humans.
Like I've heard people say
yeah. All right, I take
like
back
I've
everything that I just said. Robots are the future.
Robots
we don't
great.
Need screenwriters anymore. It's a total wash. How does that make you feel, though, like, as someone who writes scripts? Like, are you, does it make you feel like, wow, like, you know, robots are going to take over my job? Or are you kind of just
no.
like, no, I think I have job security.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fine. I'm still human.
I don't think it'll ever get to the point where robots are writing scripts. So I'm not threatened by that at all. You know, I don't know. If it does get to the point where a robot is that good at writing a script, I'm just going to be like, okay, you got it. And
yeah,
just
sure.
let them do their thing.
Let
you
me
know?
Just make it.
Because yeah,
you're not going to
you know?
See a bunch of robots like...
I don't know. Like, you may.
Maybe the. I could see maybe grip stuff. Maybe. Yeah, you're never going to have a robot or AI director.
That would be insane to have like an AI robot director, because that's such like a heady thing to be doing with other human beings. Like,
well, and they'd have to feel emotion. That is the point of directing. Like, you have to draw out a certain, you have to elicit a response. You have to draw out emotion. Yeah. And if you don't feel emotion, you don't know what emotion you're going for.
But imagine if that did happen.
That's
scary. That's freaking scary.
Going back to Marvel, first Iron Man, when he's testing everything in his garage.
Hmm?
Hey, you, go over there. Go over there. I don't want, nope, don't pick that up. What are you doing? Sweep that up. And he was telling him, he was giving him commands, but it would go over there and it would do it. So, I mean, grip stuff I could see.
Yeah.
I could see grip stuff. Y'all, this is, I'm just going to shed a little light into young Gina. I was such a little shit. I remember I was probably in kindergarten or first grade or something. I told all of my friends at my school, which it was a private Christian school in a small town, so there were like five of us. I told them that I lived in a mansion and that I had a robot butler.
Oh, wow.
They believed it. This was the 90s. That wasn't a thing yet. No one knew about Iron Man.
Richie Rich.
When
you got enough money.
Richie Rich. Oh, can't do anything. Man. That movie was great, too.
I mean, it's still a goal I'm shooting for, but at one point, I had to confess to them that, actually, I don't know if I ever did, so this is my confession. This is my confession.
I'm pretty sure they all grew up and realized, I don't think she's got a robot.
I don't know. Well, just in case you didn't, I don't have a robot yet.
Well, now it's just a little thing that goes around on the back, on the carpet.
A Roomba?
Yeah, that's Roomba.
We have Alexa. She kind of tells me what, or kind of does what I need her to do. Not well.
Kind of.
A lot of times. A lot of times she has an attitude.
It sounds like you're pretty frustrated with Alexa right now.
I mean, sometimes she's a jerk. Let's move on. I'm over AI now that we started talking about Alexa. She's the worst. Okay, so this next story is a new scientific study about the correlation between sleep times and your risk of depression. So I think that we are all kind of aware that sleep is important at this point. Like, we've heard it enough. Like, you need to get good sleep. But I think a lot of people are just like, oh, well, if I sleep from 1 a.m. to 9 a.m., that's just as good as sleeping from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
But this study is saying that if you wake up earlier, which means you go to bed earlier, you're not losing your sleep time. You're just shifting it.
Right.
So if you go to bed earlier, wake up earlier, you decrease your risk of depression.
Yeah.
Which I thought was super interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not a good sleeper. And I'm one of those that enjoys like going to bed late and waking up late. So this is something that I want to try and incorporate going forward.
Well, I could see that working, because even when you think about, I mean, now we're older and we go to sleep and we get up at 9, sometimes I feel guilty because I know other people are already in the office and there's probably, you know, 5 or 6 people emailing me already.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see how that would help waking up earlier. I mean, for me personally, anytime I wake up early, if I get up at like 5 and I'm going to a set, I hate the like actually getting up and getting out of the house part. But once you're moving and you're in motion, you feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you also recognize that the world is like really quiet. And I like that, Tom, where like just being up before everyone else and like getting on the highway and it's still like quiet.
Oh yeah,
like in Los Angeles. That was gonna
say, well, you live in Los Angeles.
Oh, that was great.
It's not as bad here.
It's it could still be bad.
We're getting there.
Yeah, definitely.
It all depends on which merge you're trying to do between the
right.
4 highways that are all coming together in one spot.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say those things though, because they kind of concluded the article with, you know, why why does this matter? Why does going to bed earlier and waking up earlier matter? Mm-hmm. And one of the things they said is obviously more exposure to sunlight. Mm-hmm. So we need vitamin D. We need, that's why we have sun lamps. You know, yeah. That's why seasonal affective disorder is a thing. We need more sunlight. So yeah. If you wake up earlier and you get more sunlight, then it can help decrease your risk of depression. But also because we live in a world, at least in America, probably the whole world, that is more suited toward early risers.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel bad for sleeping in, or yep. we're at least not rewarded for it. But if you're waking up earlier, like that's when you feel like stuff's getting done. That's when like stuff is happening and moving and grooving.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those times where I was reading I read a book a long time ago. I think it was the 10 successful habits of like, or the 10 habits of successful people. I'm probably butchering that name, but they all basically wake up early, and the first like 2 hours of your day is meant to be just for you. So whatever you want to do in those first 2 hours of the day, that's like, you should do those things. And like, some people it's reading, some people it's just sitting there and doing nothing and having a cup of coffee. I think finding out that thing is really key, especially in this situation. Because like, just waking up, like, I mean, that's cool, but most people wake up and then fall back asleep.
Right.
I'm like notorious for that. 7:30 alarm every day, and then hit snooze 10 times, and then it's 9 o'clock by the time I get up. I think finding that thing that you do in the morning is really important.
Mm-hmm. That thing that makes you excited about getting out of bed.
Yeah. Well, not even excited. It's just like finding that routine. Like, we've been going out and sitting on the porch and drinking our coffee in the morning, just like the first 30 minutes, like no emails, no nothing. Just like, get up, go get your coffee, go sit on the porch and sit in a little rocking chair. And,
I love a good rocking chair.
Yeah. You know, it's like finding that thing that you just get up and do is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought something that was really interesting that they found is that every hour that you shift correlates to around a 20-23% decrease in your risk of depression.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I went to bed at 11 and I moved that up to 10, that would decrease my risk of depression by 23%. And then if I moved it up to 9, it would double. It would decrease my risk by like 46%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really making a case for...
Do y'all find it easy to go to bed, like, before midnight?
No, are you kidding me?
I struggle with that.
It's so hard.
I mean, it just depends on the schedule that I have. Because right now, I'm working 4 to midnight. So,
yeah,
I'm not going to bed at 10. There's no way. When I get home, I, you know, by 1, 2, okay, I'm calmed down, I'm asleep. But then I wake up at 9 or 10, like you guys said earlier. I like my morning routine. I spend at least the first half hour, 45 minutes to myself, where I'll make a pot of coffee.
Yeah.
You know, I'll pour Ashley a cup. I'll go give it to her while she's in her office. And then I'll go back out in our little like patio sunroom. I'll just sit there, and sometimes I read.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just sit there and play guitar. And sometimes I just sit there.
Yeah.
So I think like I kind of found that balance, but at the same time, waking up at 8 a.m. I think, or before, anywhere before 10, I think for me would be a whole lot better than waking up at 10:30 and being like, oh, there's my morning. I don't know where I'm going to go next.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
something to shoot for.
Yeah.
You know, we all have goals.
We can all try.
We can all try. We'll circle back in a few months and see
how well
we're doing.
Give me the old college try.
The old college try. Spencer, you're going to really love this next story. Scientists confirmed the discovery of Australia's largest dinosaur, which is 2 stories tall and a basketball court long.
Mm.
I played basketball.
That's a
big dinosaur. Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. It's
nicknamed Cooper. It's the Australotitan Cooperensis.
Wait, come again?
That's why we're nicknaming it Cooper, because.
But is it like a T-Rex?
All right.
It's a sauropod god.
It's a sauropod god.
All right, I'll shut up.
God made this thing. So it's a sauropod, which is like, you know, the plant eating dinosaurs, the ones with the super long necks.
Okay.
And this one's actually a titanosaur. So speaking of Titanic.
Wait, what? So the was it the Brachiosaurus? That's the one, the tall one? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's in that family. Yeah, I think they're in the same family. Yeah, I think they're all sauropods.
Learning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they actually found the species, or like discovered it in 2007. Mm-hmm. And then they've trying to, I guess they've spent the last however many years it's been. When was two? I mean,
when was 2007?
14 years ago. 14 years ago. Yeah. So they've been spending the last 14 years like trying to figure out like what this thing is, and
that's got to be a great job.
It's Australia's largest dinosaur.
The Brachiosaurus.
Cooper. I think that's such a sweet name. I bet he was a sweet guy. It was believed to be on Earth like 90 million years ago.
Wow.
Hold on, I just Googled it. Late Jurassic to early Cretaceous dinosaur.
Do you know what those years are?
Nope.
Well, this one says walked the Earth over 90 million years ago. So I mean, I'm going to go with that.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah. Cooper, RIP. We wish you were still with us.
Jurassic World, Jurassic Park, case in point. No, I don't want dinosaurs.
The sauropods were so nice, though. Did you not cry when you saw them, like, being exterminated in the volcano? No, you guys are mean.
Look, all I'm saying is that God gave them. Hey, somebody gave them a chance. It didn't last. It's our turn.
There was a reason.
There's a reason why they didn't.
So many years between when they were here and when we were here. Yeah. There's a reason.
You know, I don't know. I like to think that there is a world where we could coexist.
We are the prey and they.
No. This, I imagine when we get to heaven, there are going to be dinosaurs, and because they don't want to eat us because we all are in good relationship with each other. So
it sounds like a bad version of Sweet Tooth.
No,
if we're just doing straight loops to what we've already talked about.
No, it sounds fantastic. Are you kidding? Can you half imagine dinosaur? Being like, dude, T-Rex, we're friends. Can I just hop on your back and take a little jaunt? That sounds amazing. It's better than riding a horse.
So first, jaunt, I love that word. And secondly, I don't know. Dinosaur?
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this. I think in a world where we all loved each other, dinosaurs and humans, then it would be fantastic. In the existing world, I can't say that I'm mad that they are extinct.
Yeah, because velociraptors are violent.
I know. Thinking back again to the kitchen scene, the most terrifying scene tap. In film. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's
okay. Scary. But you know what's even more terrifying than that scene is the one from Jurassic World where they like mixed the velociraptor with a T-Rex and like probably something else super crazy and dangerous. And it's like a sociopath.
Yeah.
It's not just a dinosaur. It's a sociopathic dinosaur.
Yeah. Yep. And that's when, that's when Wu concocted all these dinosaurs, and that's kind of, Woo's the key, man.
Freaking Woo.
Woo. Listen.
Hate that guy.
I think this is also when we need to end the podcast with Jeff Goldblum's monologue in the latest movie saying, no, this is a bad idea.
My favorite quote, life finds a way from Jurassic Park 1. There you go.
Is that your favorite quote, like, in all film?
It's between that and hold on to your butts.
Okay.
Sam Jackson.
One of my favorites is nuh-uh-uh. That's not the magic word. Nuh-uh-uh. Ashley hit me almost the other morning because she was like, can I have coffee? And I was like, nuh-uh-uh. That's not the magic word. And she goes, this is not the time, Nicholas.
I was not like, before my first coffee. Cup of coffee.
Yeah, here. Yeah, I'm going to go back out and have me time on the patio. If you need me, I'll be out there in silence.
Try again later.
Yeah. Whoops. My fault.
There's a time and a place, Nikki J.
Yeah, I'm really bad at those.
You'll get there.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, this last story, speaking of space, I don't know, we said something about it earlier. Right, space, being in space, something about space. A 7-year-old girl who's like obsessed with space is going to be the first kid to send an item to the moon. So they are working on the Vulcan Centaur rocket, which is going to be sent to the moon sometime this year, I think, at the end of 2021. And Elizabeth Norman, she lives in England. She became obsessed with space and built, like, a model of the Vulcan Centaur rocket and, you know, built this model, shot it off in her backyard. I think it soared, like, 30 feet. She's seven. I couldn't figure out how to do that.
That's some ambition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that caught the attention of people who are important in the space and science world. Not NASA. I don't think it's NASA. It's the United Launch Alliance, I think.
The United Launch Alliance?
Yeah.
I've never heard of these folks.
I haven't either. And so they reached out. They were really impressed. And they were like, hey, we're sending a time capsule up to the moon.
Yeah.
Do you want to put something in it? And like any sane human, Elizabeth Norman was like, heck yeah, here's a sticker. Yeah. So she has a science blog and a science YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And she has stickers. And so she's putting one of her stickers in this rocket in the lunar lander. And they're going to put it in a time capsule on the moon.
That's so cool.
Is there anything that you guys would put? What would you send to the moon? If someone said, hey, you guys get to put a special item in a time capsule that's going to stay on the moon as long as the moon exists. What would you put in it?
What would I put in this time capsule? That's tough for me. Because there's, like, not many things that, like, I don't hoard a bunch of stuff, you know? Like, I've never been that kind of person, so even when I think about what I have right now, there aren't many things that I have that were, like, from my childhood. So I don't know what I would put in there right now.
Well, and you don't want to put something in there that's super memorable for you because you're never going to the, I mean,
yeah,
most likely we are not going to the moon.
I think I would want to do something like a video message or something like that, you know, something where people could, like, see my face and say, oh, this is what a human looks like, you know, or something like
that. Yeah, when they're all robots.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
When Benjamin is up there on the moon directing his film.
Yeah.
Transformers 8. I think I would do something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, would it be a little bit poetic if you put a flower up there? I mean, technically the flower eventually will die, but it's so cold up there, would it actually freeze it?
I think, like, it would how freeze, would it, yeah.
Well, it's also going, I don't know what the time capsule is made of, so it's probably made of something that is, you know, built to withstand whatever the atmosphere on the moon is, so that the next exploration, they can get it, and they can see it, and they can be like, oh, yeah, this was a flower, not that, oh, wow, this was dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's taken us so long to get back to the moon.
50 years.
Yeah.
The last one was 50 years ago. I'm kind of sad about
that. A long time.
But I am very excited that we're on Mars.
I know.
That's cool. We've talked about that in a couple of
times. Yeah, yeah.
It's really, really
cool. Do you guys believe in aliens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're like what we do in the movies or anything. I honestly just feel like there are other human beings out there, you know?
It's interstellar. It's our future self that built something that we knew that we needed at the time to help get by. And we're just slowly finding our way back to that point so they could actually exist.
Okay. Heavy.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far.
That's heavy.
Don't know if I'd do that. I'm not committing to that. I do believe in the possibility that there is life outside of Earth. I think it would be naive and arrogant to not think that. But
yeah,
I'm not committing to y'all's.
I mean, that's just my take on Interstellar. Is pretty much what I just said.
Okay. Well,
I'm with Nick on this. Like, I like that thought. I like that.
This is literally what happened last time. You guys agreed on everything, and then I'm stuck over here just in my own whatever universe. We're going there, and
your own alternate universe.
Oh
no, just universe.
Oh.
Anyways, I can't wait for Karis's next week. So we're going to have, it's going to be us against Nick next time.
Sorry, so, Nick.
it's a norm at this point.
I'm sorry, man.
It's really not that bad.
He can handle it. Yeah. He's tough.
And good. We drink during it, so it's really not that bad.
It's all good. Yeah, it's all good.
Spencer, thank you so much for joining us again. We certainly had as much of a blast this time as we did the first time. Likewise. In the lost tapes.
The lost tapes. I like that. Yeah. You know, we should find that audio and just put it out as is, even if it sounds crazy. Maybe we'll send that to the moon.
Oh, there we go.
I'm telling you, the corrupted audio file. Eventually they're going to be able to understand it.
Yeah.
They're going to say, I don't know why they didn't publish this. This makes perfect sense.
Let's do that.
All the rest of their podcast sounds stupid.
Jeez, you got so aggressive with
this human language.
And she made eye contact me when she said it, too. Yeah. I feel attacked.
Gina, come on.
That's how aliens are portrayed, guys.
Yeah, but right? We just agreed that that's so not how they would be portrayed.
Okay.
They're just like us. They're just like us.
All right, we're going to end it there. Spencer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, y'all. This has been fun.
We loved it. Thank you guys for joining us for your happiest hour.
Cheers.
Nick, the Beast Elliot, tries to keep me on time, and he also edits our podcast each week, which I think is why he tries to keep me on time. Josh Suddeth at Sud Studios created our theme song. He doesn't usually work for free, but I still highly recommend him because he rocks and has a super cute baby. I'm your host, Gina Medlin, and I recently discovered that I don't hate the sound of my voice at 1.5 times speed. It also makes it seem like we stay within our time constraints, so you guys should try it. Remember to follow our podcast for updates and new episode releases. It also is super helpful for us if you download, review, and share our podcast with people you love. We can't imagine spending our happiest hours any other way, and we can't wait to be with you all again next week. Cheers.